there's danger everywhere. But danger had never looked quite like this before.
Can you keep a secret?
Based on shocking true events.
This girl, Rena Virk, she's been missing for 3 days.
Emmy Award nominee Riley Keough.
Young girls were the ones we were supposed to protect.
Academy Award nominee Lily Gladstone.
Can't be.
Not be protected from.
A Hulu original series, Under the Bridge. Now streaming with new episodes Wednesdays only on Hulu.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Ladies and gentlemen,
we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ridiculous Crime is a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, Elizabeth Dutton.
Yes, Zarin.
You know what's ridiculous?
Yeah, I'll tell you what's ridiculous. High-heeled Crocs.
Wait, is that real?
I don't know. Is that a thing?
Are you just making
no,
that up?
No, I had a dream last night that someone was forcing me to wear high-heeled Crocs. And they had like a chunky heel.
Okay, I was wondering if it was a square heel or like a stiletto.
No, it was a square heel and they were blue. Mm-hmm. And they had like an ankle strap thing too.
Interesting.
So if that exists, it's ridiculous.
Next. The fact you're dreaming about Crocs is ridiculous. Okay, that's a good one. But how about the story of a mysterious criminal who nightly stalks the streets and avenues of the United Kingdom? This madman or madwoman searches for victims, and when one is found, they seize upon their target with criminal intent. And when their dirty business is done, they leave behind the unmistakable evidence of their attack.
That sounds scary.
Another shaved cat.
Wait, what?
Yeah. So you ready for the unsolved mystery of the great UK cat shaver?
I am so ready.
This is Ridiculous Crime, a podcast about absurd and outrageous capers, heists, and cons. It's always 99% murder-free and 100% ridiculous. Okay, Elizabeth, I promised you a story of a cat shaver.
Yes.
And I'll deliver on that extremely ridiculous crime in 1 second, but first, I think we need to establish a little context for this story.
Okay.
So let's talk about... I mean, you can't just jump right into cat shaving.
No,
right?
Not
I mean,
at
I think
all.
That's been like an understood thing since the beginning of time. You don't just rush into cat shaving.
Never.
So let me tell you about the furry fury of cat lovers, specifically the cat lovers of the UK. Wait, listen to me. Let me tell you. You lived in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
Could you tell me about the furry cat lovers?
Well, all I can say is that in Glasgow, the cats are enormous and it's awesome.
What do you mean?
There's the biggest house cats I've ever seen in my life.
Just generally? Like, it's not just like Maine Coons are big, but
no, they're just biggins. And
is it the diet?
I don't know, but
they're big. You didn't ask around? You're just like, well, whatever.
I keep to myself. There was one that lived across the like back close or whatever from me, and I would look out the window, and I always try and lure it over to visit,
mm-hmm.
and it had big stranger danger vibes every time I did that and would look at me terrified and run away. And I was like, no, I just want to see this gigantic cat in person. But then you'd walk around and see all these other gigantic cats.
Do you think the cat knew you had dog energy?
Yeah. But you know what? Every dog I've had has loved cats.
That's true. That's very true.
So.
And I say this like I've known every dog you've ever known, but.
You have like a scrapbook.
Yeah. I sometimes, you know, I talk to your mother. I'm like, okay, so tell me about Wallace. Was he good with cats?
Wallace was the best dog ever. No offense to Elliot, but yeah.
Well, Elliot's, he can't hear anymore, so yeah. It just passed
Wallace
right over
loved
his head.
Cats, yes.
Okay, so imagine those big, giant cats of Scotland.
Yes.
And imagine the people who love them and very passionately.
Yes.
Now imagine a woman in the UK who had to have police protection from the death threats that she received after she threw someone's cat in the trash.
Wait, what did she do?
I said she threw someone's cat in the trash.
Oh.
No, I know, but it's quite the headline. But you have to understand, the cat was unharmed.
Okay, well, that's good.
And also, this story is far more nuanced than a lady threw a cat in the trash.
I bet.
Yeah, you know, kind of. It's still ridiculous, though. Okay, I want you to picture it.
Yes.
It's 2010. You were in the English city of Coventry in the West Midlands area of the United Kingdom. You ever been there?
No.
Okay. The city is historically part of an area called Warwickshire, about 19 miles southeast of Birmingham. It's a Saturday, evening time, around 8 p.m. You notice a woman out alone. She's a 45-year-old bank worker named Mary Bale. She's just out for an evening stroll, a walk, a constitutional, if you will. Now, you notice her stop a moment. She bends low to pet a little 4-year-old cat. She's like, oh. Friendly with the cat. You're like, these two know each other. Mary Bale has passed this cat many times on this walk. She's a neighborhood gal. And when she bends low to pet the cat, she gently nuzzles it. And the cat comes over and is like very friendly with her. And they're just having their little moment. And then you notice that she picks up the cat by the scruff of its neck, carries
like
it over.
Like a mama would.
Exactly, just like a mama would.
I don't like where this is going.
Carries it over to a street side trash bin, lifts the lid, dumps the cat in. And walks away.
Did you close the lid after?
Yeah. She's like, she's like, and that goes there, and I'm out. Now, all of this was recorded by you, a CCTV camera.
I'm a CCTV camera?
Yes, you are, the all-seeing eye.
That's fun.
You are the unblinking eye that misses nothing on that street. Now, what you don't see is that 15 hours later, the cat's owner, a Mr. Daryl Mann, 26, he discovers his missing cat, Lola.
Nope,
it's cat's fine. Remember I told you,
yeah.
Cat is fine. Cat was in the bin. But they'd been gone all day long. They had no idea. They're like, oh. But they heard when they come home some noise, some crying sound. So they're like, what is that sound? It's like a cat in distress. They go over to the trash and look, there's Lola. So they'd never known that Lola was gone until they discovered Lola in the trash bin.
Well, they obviously didn't care very much for Lola. But they don't even notice she's gone.
I'm telling you. They're like, well, wait, how could the cat get in a trash bin? The wife, Stephanie, she's like, I don't know about this, honey. I'm thinking it's one of our, you know, untrustworthy neighbors.
Huh.
I know. Dude's like, well, you know, I put that CCTV camera up, I bet it got some footage.
Oh, so I live in their home. I'm not like one of the UK government CCTV cameras.
You are a private CCTV camera that they have put outside because they've had problems in the past.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So they check the footage, and what do they see?
Well,
they see what you saw, a woman come along and pet their cat, pick it up, and toss it in the trash. Now, the mans are aghast. They're like, oh, how dare someone do this to Lola? They're
sure.
Like, you know, who would do such a thing? Stephanie is personally the most offended, right? She's like, this is just so, I can't trust the people we live near. This is so terrible.
She was shaken to the core
completely,
by this.
Completely. I mean, her faith in humanity.
I wonder if that was the worst thing that ever happened in her life.
I think
and she's way ahead of the game.
So the mans decide, okay, we need to be able to feel safe, both for ourselves and for our cat, to solve this mystery. So they go and they take the footage from CCTV, they load it on YouTube, and they put it up on a Facebook page. And the Facebook page is called Help Find the Woman Who Put My Cat in the Bin.
I shouldn't laugh. I'm so sorry.
It's all right. I was laughing the whole time I was researching this. So I'll be honest. So the video and the Facebook page, of course, what do? They go viral. boom.
Well, yeah.
This is 2010. So people are like savagely viral at this time. Like, not that they're not now, but they really didn't even understand the power they had. They were like, okay, we know about doxing, but they hadn't got into like busting out every racist Karen that ever came along. They hadn't quite become the thing.
It's a more jaded viral now.
Yes.
Don't you think? Completely. Like, then it was like, oh, shucks, I can't believe the world's crazy. Now it's, no, the world's insane. It's ending. Here, look at this crazy person. Let's destroy him.
Yeah, man. They were like, what is it? I guess like 6 years deep into Facebook at that point. So Facebook is like, you know, a thing, but not really, you know, what we now see it as, which is like, oh, you can sponsor genocide with this. This is amazing. So anyway.
It's pre-genocide Facebook.
Pre-genocide Facebook, right? So the man's uploaded the video. The video goes viral. And that's on a Sunday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, by Sunday night, to people on 4chan, they've already found Mary Bale and completely doxed
her. Those heroes?
Yeah, exactly. So the 4chan folks are on it. Now, Monday morning comes around. Mary Bale has no idea any of this is going on because Mary Bale's just chill like that. And she gets a call from her boss at the bank. And she's like, oh, yes, I'm getting ready to pop into the office. And he's like, oh, cool, cool. Yeah, well, you know, you don't really work here anymore. So you don't need to do that. So she's out. She has to resign from her job of 27 years. This is the first indicator to her that something horrible is going wrong in her life.
I feel like 4chan would have supported her if I were to have written this on my own.
We have to understand, though, that this is like someone putting a cat in the trash, I think, can unite people across the aisle.
That is true.
It's one of those things like Dolly Parton everyone can agree on.
Yeah.
So Facebook now, meanwhile, is starting to like kick into gear. So there is a new Facebook group that the mans did not put up called Death to Mary Bale.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So now this is on Monday. On Tuesday, the British press descends. They're like, oh, look, a story.
And you know, they're so gentle about
this. Oh, my God.
Things.
So they come out there with a bunch of rusty knives and spoons and start setting up to work. They're like, oh, we can make a meal of this. And they make their traditional, you know, tabloid pig's breakfast of it. Now, when I say the British press, I don't mean like the great press. It's mostly the Sun, the Mirror, the Daily Mail. But then also, it's the BBC One, BBC Two, Sky TV News.
Wow.
And of course, America's Fox News gets in on the scrum. They're like, oh, fresh blood. Anyway, the mans, they're like starting to feel bad about what they have done. They're like, oh, dearie. So they realize that they really, you know, put Mary Bale in it because they're getting cameras at their place. They can only imagine what's happening for old Mary Bale. So news cameras are descending on them. They're going, now what happened? How terrible was this cat in the trash ordeal you went through? They're like, oh, bother. It was terrible. No, actually, they're very not like upper crust Tory people. And I don't want to like, you know, class shame them. So I'm not going to really make fun of their accents or any of what they said. But their quotes are interesting. Well, I'll do you this one.
Are you going to give me a quote?
I'll give you one quote.
Yes.
So Daryl Mann is asked about like how bad things are. And he's like, you know, basically admitting that like the cat is a night cat. They didn't know that Lola was out. They only noticed it when they pulled back from like, you know, popping down to the store. And then they heard the screams. And he's like, he says, I thought she might have gotten in herself. She's not the brightest cat, right? You know?
That honestly would have been my first read on it, like that the cat was trying to get into the can. And
exactly. It seems like a thing a cat would do.
It happens to raccoons a lot.
Oh, yeah. Well, raccoons are kind of dumb. But anyway, I'm not going to.
Don't say that.
The raccoon people coming after me. So then this my dude, Daryl Mann, he's, you know, he is like trying to kind of like shift, not the blame away from what she did, but like, you know, it could have been. But then he realizes, oh, wait, the news people will leave and I won't be able to, like, you know, get all this like attention. So he's like, reverts back to the rhetorical position he had before, which is, I know people are angry. We was angry at the time. So now he's back on the side of everyone who's got their pitchforks up, right?
We was,
yeah. So, you know, so this is why I'm not going to go too many of his quotes. It seems unfair to the man. So
I'm just a grammatical jerk.
Yeah, I know you are, babe. I know. So the mans, to their credit, they do try to like kind of quell this fast spiraling internet storm that is surrounding poor Mary Bale, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Stephanie Mann, she goes and talks to the news cameras, talks to the viewers, and appeals to their good conscience. And I quote,
yeah,
I can't believe the reaction to the story. I only posted it on Facebook because I wanted to see who she was. Now the police know who she is. I think people should leave it to them and the RSPCA and not take matters in their own hands. Whatever she's done, I don't like her, but I don't want her to get hurt. It needs to be dealt with properly, not by people getting aggressive with her.
That's really good.
Yeah, right? I mean, it's like pretty much flawless. Excellent. It was like me and Dick Van Dyke are your go-tos for British accents.
L-O-R-U. But okay, here's the thing. She said she posted it on Facebook just because she wanted to see who it was.
I'm just, you know, just teasing, but testing.
And then she finds out and just walks away from that? Come on.
Washed your hands
washed
of it.
Washed your hands of
she's
it.
She's like, what? Whatever she's done.
I think Mary needs to, no, not Mary. What's her name?
Oh, Stephanie.
Stephanie.
Stephanie Mann.
She needs to man up. Pun intended. And just admit what it, like, legitimately, when she posted it and she just wanted to find out who it was, then what was she going to do? Tell the truth.
Exactly.
Steph.
Yeah, like, what was the whole point of finding out?
She's going to go tune up. Are
you going to go put her cat in the trash?
Tune this lady up.
You think so? Do oh, British
yeah.
style?
Oh, yeah. She
come
was
over
gonna...
and glass her? Just walk up.
They were
boy, gonna, what's she drinking, Mary?
They were gonna put on some Kappa track suits and just head over there and
bring a couple of dudes they know.
Give her the old
have
what
no
for.
Futures.
I don't know.
So now, if you can imagine, so the press has descended on the man's. Meanwhile, over at Mary Bale's place, back at the ranch, she is perpetually surrounded by angry cat lovers, animal defenders, and the British press. Quite the mix, right?
Yeah.
Now, she's good because she no longer has to go to work, so she doesn't really have to leave her house, so that's going for her. But it's bad because at the same time, she needs a police escort to go visit her ailing father in the hospital. So, like, stuff's getting real for her. At one point, Facebook's like, you know what? I feel bad for this girl. You know, so let's do what we can. And they go, and the Facebook spokeswoman tells the press, we can't comment on individual cases for privacy reasons, but I can tell you that one group entitled Death to Mary Bale has been removed today.
One group.
Yeah, just one group. Like, we took out the worst
but all
one.
The other death to fill in the blank, I'll leave them.
Yeah, what are we doing here? You know, come on. We got a business to run. We can't be looking out for every Mary Bale, Tom, Dick, and Harry.
Can't you got to do this little work to get to the big work of genocide.
Exactly. Step by step, darling. See? Now, eventually, due to public outcry, Mary Bale, she gets arrested.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, because they're like, look, you can't be just abusing cats.
Yeah, it's out there. They
this
gotta
is England.
Do
I just like saying that. Anyway, so Mary Bale, she gets arrested. She has to go before a judge to face justice. Now, do you think this is going to go well for old Mary?
No. If it did, we wouldn't be talking about it.
Well, we'll be back after a short break, and I'll tell you all about how Mary Bale gets out of jail.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
the war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Truck stop brothels run by a web of ex-cons. A Commonwealth attorney wasted on whiskey and power. Protection exchanged for cash and flesh. This is Hooker Game, Criminals and Libertines in the South. And I am your host, Dr. Lindsay Byron. 3 years ago, I came across a goldmine of news clippings detailing a scandal that rocked my small southern hometown. As I flipped through each page, this forgotten story came back to life.
I was told that it was just supposed to be a massage parlor.
The big shot in Davos was Barker.
He beats me continuously.
If you print anything that you hear in that grand jury, you will be put in jail.
I never gave any massages.
Listen to Hooker Gay, Criminals and Libertines in the South on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, after Death to Mary Bale fails on its merits, and Facebook's like, look, we gotta like look out for this lady, and she gets arrested, and she goes before the judge. Luckily, she finally now has someone who understands what has occurred for poor Mary Bale. She has Judge Caroline Goulburn. Now, Judge Caroline Goulburn is, like, you know, human about this. She says, look.
Not feline about it?
No, not feline about it.
So, she's all,
you know.
Like, oh, this week drew the wrong justice on this
so
one.
So busted on this one.
She's just dressed like a kitty cat.
She's licking her hands and cleaning herself in court. So Judge Caroline Goulburn, she's like, look, Mary, you're guilty of animal endangerment. There's no doubt about that. The camera, everything. We can't even contest this. But you've really gone through the ringer, my lady. The media interest has just been crushing on you. You've been vilified everywhere. I'm going to take that into account when we talk about justice. She's like, look, I understand that when you were walking, you were going basically to the hospital. So you're a little bit out of sorts, right? And you're like, you know, she's walking from her place to her mother's place over to the hospital to see her dad who's ailing.
Oh,
remember, the dad's ailing. So yeah. She's got like, she needed police protection to go see him. So the judge takes this into account and is like, look, the cat wasn't even injured. So
yeah,
I'm not going to throw the book at you. So Mary Bale, in court, she finally speaks to this. She's like, look, people, it's a cat. No, she didn't say that. Okay. She's like, I cannot explain why I did this. It is completely out of character, and I certainly did not intend to cause any distress to Lola or her owners. It was a split second of misjudgment that has gotten completely out of control. I wish to reiterate that I'm profoundly sorry for my actions and wish to resolve this matter to everyone's satisfaction as soon as possible. So, you know, that's pretty decent.
Yeah.
Now, she did lose her job of 27 years. She has to pay a small fine, and she was banned from owning a pet for 5 years.
Oh, did she already have a pet? Did they confiscate any pets?
No, they did not take a pet from her. They just
walk
told her,
in.
Like, don't you try going into a pet store, Mary.
Yeah.
Now, the novelist M.J. Hyland, she wrote a highly esteemed essay included in the Best of Australia's Essays of 2011, and it was called The Trial of Mary Bale. She was so moved by what happened to this woman that she writes about it, right? And I thought there was two points she made in her essay that were worth saying. And I quote.
Yeah.
If Mary had been a teenager, a welfare sponger, or a lout with a crack habit, there'd be no story. This is a professional, intelligent, middle-aged, middle-class woman surprising the hell out of us.
Oh, that's kind of a loaded statement.
Right? So basically, like, the whole thing is everybody goes crazy over this cat being tossed in the trash, which, admittedly, is bad. Don't get me wrong. But, like, calling for her death seems a bit outsized, right?
Oh, hugely.
And we all know how that goes these days. Like, this, we now live in the wake of those online times. Because, like, at that time, BuzzFeed published her home address and her phone number. Like, that's what I mean. Like, things were a little bit different, you know?
A little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit. So, like, the other thing that's wild to me about this story is this all happened in, like, a town, this Coventry town, is right near Birmingham. I don't know much about England. I don't know about you. But only thing I know about Birmingham is Peaky Blinders is from there, right? So like, yeah. I'm picturing like Peaky Blinders and all these people getting mad about a cat in the trash. And I know this is bad, but I was like, dude, this is progress, England. You used to have to deal with like knivings and thievings and murders and all sorts of prostitution and gambling houses. Now you're just like, oh, we got a cat in the trash and getting all insane about it. This is progress. Be happy. No?
Not really.
Admittedly, I have a different view of jurisprudence.
Well, but... you know that Peaky Blinders isn't a documentary.
What?
It's like live PD, but...
yeah, I just think it's real, absolutely real. But the thing is, I was just imagining these are like a little bit more like working class people with problems that were beyond...
Yeah, but
beyond...
How far from Birmingham was it?
Like 20 miles, 19 miles?
That's a long way. Like, think about it this way.
Oh.
I'm going to tell you. Okay, so think about it. If you're there in the UK, 20 miles is a pretty good distance from one place to the next, from one town to the next.
Okay.
And where we are, we're in California, we're in an urban area. Uh-huh. And so, you know, you drive 20 miles, you've gone, like in the Bay Area, if I'm in the East Bay, which I am,
yes.
If I drive 20 miles, I've gone through nothing but solid towns one after another.
Yeah.
And so if you take like this, the whole size of California and you superimpose that over the British Isle, it's the same, it's California's the same length. And so if I'm driving 20 miles like from Stockton out into that, you know, a good sized city, I'm going to get to a tiny town that's
gonna be
nothing
like Stockton.
Yeah.
I see your point. Yeah. Okay, fair enough. Fair enough.
But I do like the idea of it's as if they have like a secret in England that, you know, they want everyone else to think that it's so rough and gritty. And in truth, it's just Cat Bennings.
Exactly. People getting insane about like pet crimes. It's like, all right, I wish.
I think we all wish. We wish that that was the peak of bad behavior.
Okay. Now, as I promised, you ready for the mystery of the great UK cat shaver?
Oh, that's right. We were talking about this.
Yeah. See, I just wanted to set you up for the like how wild England is about cats before we get into an even crazier cat crime.
Yeah. Well, they say in Scotland that men there are two times in their lives that men cry.
When?
When their dog dies and when their football team loses. I think I'm remembering that correctly.
It sounds accurate.
Yeah.
Okay. So I want you now to jump 6 years forward from 2010 to 2016.
I'm right there.
Okay. You're still in England.
Cool.
And you open up the newspaper and you see there is a worrying new crime trend underway. Hmm. Quote, a serial cat clipper is feared to be on the loose in a city with several felines coming home shaved.
Wait, they come home shaved?
Yes. So it starts with basically local news reports coming and talking to there is a wave of cat crime. So pet owner Charlene Freeman, 28-year-old, mother of three, she was... disturbed when her cat came home with a fresh buzz cut. This was like just shocking to her and her, imagine her three children. So now over these few weeks, there are six reports of shaved cats showing up at various homes in the area. So of course, after the sixth cat, they're like, well, we need a name for this. So they come up with the Plymouth Cat Shaver.
Oh, that's very utilitarian name.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, whatever. And Plymouth, as in like the Pilgrim's Plymouth, you know, So Plymouth, this is like on southeast England. So now we're like... further south and to the left.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So, southeast.
Is that southwest?
Right. Southwest. What did I say?
Southeast.
Whatever. Why were you listening? Southwest.
I'm here to keep you honest, pal.
I like that. All right. Keep me honest in this one. Elizabeth, you had to shave a cat. How would you do it?
Oh.
How would you shave a cat?
How would I shave a cat? Well,
how would you
and it's
shave
not
a cat?
It's not
nothing
a cat that
dog.
I own.
Yeah, let's go with it's not a cat.
It's a stranger cat?
Yes, yeah. It's a cat you're going to have to kind of coerce into this shaving.
First, I make friends with this cat. It's going to take a while.
Oh.
Luring it in.
Oh, I see.
I'm going to like supply it with some treats, maybe open up a can of tuna and be like, hey, it's cool. Just come on over. I'm just sitting here chilling, handing out tuna. And then I'm going to get it to where the cat is into it. So then I get the cat like... sitting on my lap, I'm petting it, it's purring, and then I act like, all right, I got to get out of here, see ya. So I leave him wanting more. And the cat's like, where's that cool lady that smells like tuna? I'm like, hey, you know, I'm busy right now. And then, so the cat's looking for me. And I'm kind of ghosting the cat a little bit at first. And I'm like, no, no, it's cool. Here I am. And then one time when I get it nice and sleepy, I get the clippers that I have for my dog, who wouldn't be involved in this. He's innocent. But the clippers are specifically for dogs who are really quiet.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So they're like, they're rechargeable. They don't plug into the wall. The ones that plug into the wall are crazy loud.
Yeah.
Like so these are quiet. So I turn it on, see if the cat wakes up, and then I just do it as fast as I possibly can. Just if I'm just doing like a little section, if I wanted to do the whole cat, it would have to be, you know, a more gentle, I'd light some candles.
Get set a
I'd
mood.
Put on some Enya and just like.
Sail away.
And then I'd say to the cat, shh, shh, shh. It's okay.
Step into the vibe.
I don't like that I'm thinking about this.
So, but you would go undercover with the cat. You would basically have an undercover relationship where you earn the cat's trust and then you get him with the clippers.
Or, you know, they have those things for if you want to wash cats.
I did not know about this, no.
Where it's like a sling and you put, you put their paw, their legs.
Oh, okay. So like,
through the
there's
holes,
a hole, four holes in the bottom.
And then you hold it up and they're supposed to.
And cats go for this?
I don't
Doesn't
think
sound
so.
Like a cat thing at all.
I've seen them and like you can put them in that, I guess, to clip their nails because they don't like that either.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah. I knew someone who got one because they thought like the cat had a bunch of crud on it from going in the like the garbage or something. They had to wash the cat
from
and they
being
weren't they didn't know how to do it. Yeah, maybe it got tossed in the bin. And then they just gave up. They bought the sling, but were afraid to use it. Just
I bet. If that's the first time you're going in to wash a cat and you're coming in with all sorts of weird extras. Yeah. I'm imagining that's not going to play well.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't grow up a cat, so I don't know anything about like how one would shave a cat. I don't know, like, you know, can you just like give it like a little bit of tuna? Like, I liked your idea. That makes total sense
I've
to me.
I've always
but, like,
wanted to. We had this cat named Eric, who was big and sassy.
Big sassy Eric.
Big sassy Eric, super dramatic.
He had a dramatic cat.
He was, well, if you were like pulling into the driveway and you just came to a stop, he'd run out in front of the car with like a terrified look on his face, like, don't hit me. And you're like, Eric, I put the car in park. Come on. Or like if you're cutting a branch in a tree, he comes out of nowhere and stands under it like.
So do you think that Eric would throw himself into being shaved?
Eric was enormous. He was like a 25-pound cat.
Oh, so he'd be like a fun target for the cat shaver too.
Well, no, because I was always just wondering, underneath that fur, does he have cellulite?
You wondered.
And I was like, if I shave.
That's such an American statement.
If I shave this cat, it's going to be so grotesque and yet so interesting to see what he looks like under the fur. And I would try and convince my family, hey,
we need to shave this cat.
Let's shave Eric. And they'd be like, no, he'll never get over. I'm like, no. You got to shave cats when they get injured or whatever.
Yeah,
and they
vets that do it.
Yeah, vets do it. Birds do it. Bees do it. Shave a cat, baby. No one to this day, Eric is no longer with us. Rest
you still,
in power,
did
Eric.
Did you ever get a chance?
No. No.
Have you let your family hear about it?
Yeah, and like, I threatened to shave my mom's cat.
You're Pickle. Still hanging on. You're like moved on
well,
to the next
Pickle,
cat.
Pickle
needs a shaving.
Pickle, she's kind of a big gal too. And so I'm kind of curious what's going on over
what's
there.
What's going on in that undercarriage?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you would be probably happy to know that the Plymouth cat shaver was not the only amateur cat barber working in the England area at the time.
Of course.
So in the nearby villages of the Cotswolds, there are reports of a cat shaver who has struck 10 different felines. Now, the victims in this cat crime wave had names like Tippy, Baby, Treacle. And I imagine other names like Sprinkles and Mr. Percival Winklepoof the Fourth.
Amazing.
So now, when Tippy, who is a tortoise-shelled patterned cat, returned home twice in 2 weeks with a fresh shave job, her owner's holidays were ruined. Poor Mrs. Lisetta Bray, 56, so she's like, you know, this is her life, basically, said her Christmas was ruined the year before after her cat Tippy came home with a fresh trim job. So then Tippy comes back 2 weeks later, more shave jobs. So she's like, oh, dearie me, and the new year too, right? So... Now, she was convinced that the attacker had used electric razor, right? So they're
yeah, that's probably the only way you could do
they
it.
They start getting into it. They're like, now the neighbors are like, well, what do you think it was? I think it was a clipper.
I think
it was a razor. Maybe it was battery powered.
Having thought about it myself, I think it'd have to be a clipper.
Right? So,
or straight razor.
That would be amazing.
All Peaky Blinders style.
Exactly. With the hat, maybe?
Did they give it the Peaky Blinders haircut?
Hey, that's the best haircut there is. I want to take it back, reclaim that haircut. I don't care what, you know, the All Right's doing. I want it back, damn it.
It is. It's very proper.
Anyway, so another Cotswold resident, Mandy Felton, she had a theory that there was somebody out there with a vendetta against the cats.
Oh,
those are her words, not mine.
So the cats did something and this is a payback?
Yeah, because like, you know what vendetta means.
Yeah.
For those who don't, a vendetta is typically defined as like a blood feud in which, like, say a member of a family gets murdered and the other family then has to go and murder one of theirs to get payback.
Vendetta.
Yeah, exactly. It's some Sicilian stuff. Mm-hmm. I almost cussed there. It's a Sicilian.
Sicilian.
So that's what she's thinking. So I'm like, okay, well, let's take old Mandy Felton at her word. So is there somebody out there who's like in a blood feud with a cat? What were the cats doing to this dude that he had to get back with? Like, I'm shaving these.
The cats shaved him.
Ooh, that's a good point. Yeah. In his sleep, they're just sneaking in. Mm-hmm. So Mandy Felton's cat Treacle, which is just a terrible cat's name in my opinion, was targeted twice. A lot of these cats, you notice, are targeted multiple times. So clearly, the idea of vendetta may be at a bit extreme, but I think there was a personal aspect to this.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So the cats are getting shaved, according to Mandy Felton, from like the stomach, the down the legs. It's like typically in areas that are a little bit intimate. So I don't mean it that way. I'm just saying is like, so she's like, you know, basically the thing that bothers her most is that to get this cat into this position, you have to either, like, you know, to shave a cat, you kind of have to hold it down, like pin it down. She's imagining someone manhandling her. Your kitty. See, I can't really say this. Like, any way I'm saying it's going to sound like a euphemism.
Yeah, no, but we're not going to do that.
She was worried about people mistreating her
cat.
We're not
doing that.
And so, okay, well, how am I going to say this?
Just
she didn't
deep
want
breath.
Anyone to, like, apply pressure to the cat in a way to hold it down that she could shave it.
There you go.
Okay. So,
all right, we've moved through it. Go, go, go.
So someone had also done this to her daughter Tia's cat.
Oh, I thought you were going to say to her daughter Tia.
No.
She's like, oh my God, they come. And then, you know, this little girl came back with a chunk out of her hair. But anyway, the cat.
So now, like, these neighbors are like all upset because mostly what they're imagining that's happening to these cats, not even the fact, because the cats aren't really getting hurt. Once again, much like Lola the cats are getting shaved, but there's no like blood. There's no like scabs. The cats are not being like drugged.
Oh, so.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, we're going to take a quick little break.
Yes.
And I'll be back to tell you more. And we'll start off with John Kerry, cat lover.
John. Oh, okay.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Abusers in Hollywood are as old as the Hollywood sign itself. And while fame is the ultimate prize in Tinseltown, underneath it lies a shroud of mystery. Binge this season of Variety Confidential from Variety, Hollywood's number one entertainment news source and iHeart Podcasts. 6 episodes are waiting for you right now to dive into what lies beneath the glitzy image of Hollywood's golden age and all the sex, money, and murder that's been swept under the rug for decades. Using the Variety archives, each episode offers a rare glimpse into little-known casting couch stories that have long lived in the shadows. So join us as we navigate the tangled web of Hollywood's secret history with host Tracy Patton, along with expert Variety reporters and correspondents, as they discuss the secret history of the casting couch to explore the scandalous history of Hollywood's casting process. Listen to Variety Confidential on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Truck stop brothels run by a web of ex-cons. A Commonwealth attorney wasted on whiskey and power. Protection exchanged for cash and flesh. This is Hooker Game. Criminals and libertines in the South. And I am your host, Dr. Lindsay Byron. 3 years ago, I came across a goldmine of news clippings detailing a scandal that rocked my small Southern hometown. As I flipped through each page, this forgotten story came back to life.
I was told that it was just supposed to be a massage parlor.
The big shot in Davos was Barker.
He beats me continuously.
If you print anything that you hear in that grand jury, you will be put in jail.
I never gave any massages.
Listen to Hooker Gay, Criminals and Libertines in the South on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so we're back with John Kerry, cat lover. And now when I say John Kerry, I don't mean former presidential candidate Secretary of State John Kerry.
No, he actually is known to cover cats in ketchup as the Heinz. Forget I said that. It's not true. Allegedly.
Well, this John Kerry is a 52-year-old window washer with a cat named Beau.
Hmm.
Now, Bo got clipped 4 times in 1 month.
What is Bo getting up to?
Exactly. What Bo does not like staying home. That's what I know.
Does Bo have a lot of real estate for shaving?
Bo is a healthy target, I'm guessing.
Is Bo like Eric?
Bo's probably dramatic. Oh, and Bo, by the way, is apparently a girl because John Kerry says, quote, she's not bald, but she's not looking very pretty these days.
Aw.
I know. I would think Bo is a guy's name. I guess at this point, just no more gendering of names. I'm not going to assume Bo is a guy's name, a girl's name. I'm not going to assume anything about names anymore. I think none of us should.
Just I think that's
forget
the
it.
Point.
Let's ungender names.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything.
Every name is just
everything.
Fair.
Exactly.
You know, what can you really expect to be based on a name anyway, right?
Nothing.
Billy Shakespeare would be so proud.
Yeah.
Right? That's a little English stuff, huh?
That was nice.
This is England.
That's nice.
So, my man John Kerry, the 52-year-old window washer, not the Secretary of State, he is a good exemplar of the British pet-based outrage because this cat-shaving thing is really getting to the people because of what they're imagining. They're imagining what their cats are going through.
Yeah.
They're imagining somebody manhandling their pussycats. And he says, quote, and I say, quote.
Quote.
It's ridiculous.
Wait,
who would go
ridiculous?
Around doing this kind of thing? I'm sure it's taking a real toll on the cat now. The poor thing must be traumatized. I'm surprised she still wants to go outside. John, I'm not surprised. The cat got cut 4 times in 1 month. She loves being outside. Now, John, though, Kerry, was like kind of onto some stuff. He was like real worried, as I told you earlier, about like he's imagining what could happen. So, you know, he told the press, and I quote,
mm-hmm.
I would say it is being done with an electric razor. It would have to be very quick. It must be restraining her to do it. She had a bit of a limp, you know?
Oh, she had a limp.
Yeah, so, but we don't know if that is...
Animals fake limps.
You said this about your pets.
Yeah, Wallace, yeah. The aforementioned Wallace,
uh-huh.
When you would yell at him for, like, tipping over the garbage can or something, like, Wallace, why'd you do that? he would hold a paw up and limp away. Like, I did it because I'm injured. You're ableist. Like, and he would make me feel guilty. And the first couple of times he did it, he's like a rescue dog when I got him. So he had been abused.
Oh, I got you.
We had to do a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
The two of us talked about shaving cats, you know. Brought him back.
brought him back around, cheered up his mood.
But I think that, you know, and I've seen it. Haven't you seen that video clip of the guy on crutches and his dog's walking next to him limping?
No. Oh, I think this sounds familiar. I think I've seen it.
Follow enough
wholesome meme accounts? No, I don't.
You know, cute animal videos.
No, I count on you to like text them to me.
Yeah.
Just, you know.
So, and then you not to open those texts.
Did I have my read still on? Damn. So, much like with the case of Mary Bale before, the police were eventually called in because, you know, these Cotswolds villagers, they needed to know if their tabbies and Persians and the Russian Blues and Maine Coons of Minchinhampton were going to be safe. Because they had Jack the Clipper on the loose.
Jack the Clipper.
So,
that's so much better than the other one.
So the 40-year-old Bernice Hodges from Beaverston, nearby Beaverston, she logs onto Facebook one day and she's like feeling a little high and mighty for herself because she notices her neighbors. One of them is complaining about, my cat came home and had been shaved. And she's like, lol, roll my eyes. What's up with you?
She's us.
Yeah, exactly. And right as she's trying to stifle yet another laugh, she thought to herself, that's so stupid. And then her cat jumped on to, and I quote, jumped on to me for a stroke, and I saw he had been shaved. It's all fun and games until the cat shaver comes for you, isn't it, Bernice?
Your quote is, stop.
So.
Wait, so she, okay, I'm going to take a step back. Mm-hmm.
So Bernice notices.
She's capping on everybody, yeah. And then she starts petting her cat. Yep. And there's a huge hole in the fur.
And her 4-year-old Moggy jumps up on her lap.
Is that not a lesson to us?
Yeah.
Do you have a cat? I don't have a cat.
No.
Do you have a cat?
I don't have a cat. Oh,
but I have a dog.
You have a dog.
He doesn't.
Is this a test? Will there be a test later?
Do you have a parakeet? No. Okay, luckily he's never like more than 4 feet from me.
Yeah.
But if someone shaved him, I don't know. I'd wonder what he did to deserve it.
You victim blame.
Total victim blame.
So she, her 4-year-old Moggy, which by the way, I'd never heard that word, Moggy. I had to look that up. You know that term,
no,
Moggy?
What's that mean?
That's what the Brits call a cat who's a mutt. Moggy. Oh, yeah.
Why does that feel like maybe there's some sort of problematic?
Well, it's British.
So beginning to that.
I'm willing to bet you this is problematic.
You know what I mean? Like, you say that, and then like someone's gonna be like,
no,
we
don't say that.
Stop.
Well, now that the old cat shaver come for Bernice and her Moggy, right? She's on the case. She's
careful.
Like,
we don't know what that really means.
She's like, she starts going over all of the suspicious details in her mind. She's like, what have I seen lately in Cotswolds villages? And then she realizes, I did see that white van. So there was a white van in the neighborhood that was apparently parked strangely. She's like, that's it. I'd be willing to bet you they were after the cat. So, and Bernice.
It's always the white van.
Oh, of course. You know, if you're going to grab somebody, you need a white van.
He's like hanging out the side with some Whiskas treats all, hey, can you help me find my kid? It's like, see how I flipped it like that?
Well, Bernice reasoned it was actually way darker than that. So she goes, it could be innocent, but in a very small village, I do take a second glance. It does make you worry a bit that something could have happened. Someone could be taking blood for DNA or something. There's so much research going on with cats at the moment. It definitely makes you more aware of what's going on. Now, Bernice goes from laughing at people on Facebook to claiming a vast conspiracy where people are capturing the cats of England for their DNA. Oh, Bernice.
Bernie.
So Bernice takes this to the town council because that's where the rubber meets the road for democracies.
Yeah.
And the town council's like, oh, look, Bernice, we're going to take this very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you think that's fun, the next year over in the U.S., there is a copycat cat shaver.
Always.
Because they were like, oh, wait a minute, what are they doing over there? Oh, it's a new trend.
Yep.
So in Waynesboro, Virginia, imitating the Plymouth Cat Shaver and Jack the Clipper, there is the Waynesboro, I don't know, the amateur cat barber of Waynesboro and
the Sweeney Todd.
The Sweeney Todd of Waynesboro,
they're
Virginia.
Okay. They're okay.
They went and they attacked 7 cats. 7 cats were found shaved. And unfortunately, there were no witnesses in any of the incidents.
Hmm.
So, which is kind of weird, though, because, like, you know, who's out there shaving cats? Like, who's like, you know, that's the copycat crime for me.
Well, is it a copycat?
It could have been a unique
maybe,
one. Yeah,
maybe
you're right.
This person had to come and work in the United States for a little bit.
Same person?
Just got itching.
So it wasn't like lazy Satanist. It was actually the same Jack the Clipper. He's like on a sabbatical.
Lazy like, Satanists are so, that's like my favorite motorcycle gang.
So the police of Waynesboro, because it's America, they take it way more seriously. So unlike the town council, we have Captain Kelly Walker of Waynesboro, Virginia. So he's in there.
He's your everyday street soldier.
Totally. He wants everyone like at ease and at rest because this cat business, we got this handled. So he tells them, quote, collectively, this involves 7 cats that are indoor and outdoor cats. People are like, oh, okay, so like, is that good? Is that bad? And he's like, well, I want you to understand, these aren't some like, you know, out of town cats coming in here trying to get Swiss cheesed up. We got our local cats getting messed up by this cat guy. And they're like, well, what do you mean? He's like, and I quote, the cats are wearing collars and are well-groomed.
Wait,
so obviously these are, you know, good old fashioned neighborhood cats, you know, not like some of those back alley cats you might see late at night who are just asking for it, going around there, not living right, getting shaved up, you know. So
first of all, I'm really disappointed that he said cats and not felines. That sounds like it would be like we got 3 felines coming in. Yeah, that was.
I'm just surprised you didn't say these cats are no angels.
I'm trying to get my head around this. Well, they're well-groomed, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I like that this is like, he wants them to know, like, these are victims that are worth my time, you know?
Yeah.
Captain Kelly Walker, I want you all to know.
These aren't the ones that no one's going to miss.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, what do you do on the weekends?
What are you insinuating, Captain?
He hangs out at trucks. Oh, no, I have to stop making jokes about real people. This is a joke.
Yes, good.
Never mind.
So we'll skip away from Waynesboro, Virginia.
Thank you.
We're going to go back
to
England.
Get me out of a lawsuit.
And we're back in jolly old England. It's now 2021.
Mm-hmm.
So we've moved forward 4 years in time.
Yeah.
Okay. Guess who's back in business? The great UK cat shaver.
Yay.
So all of a sudden, there's a new wave of cat shaving crimes. And people, I don't know how, had forgotten the previous incident. So there are new victims who have no idea what's going on. They don't know the history of the Cotswolds Village's problems with amateur cat barbers.
You know what the problem was? Not enough hashtags for that first event.
It didn't go viral enough.
No.
Nobody had a death threat page on Facebook. See,
exactly.
That would have made sure.
Exactly.
So the cat shaver gets back in business. So what is it, the pandemic? Like, why would the cat shaver suddenly go, you know, I feel the hunger. I need to shave a cat.
Well, they used up all the DNA samples.
He's like,
before.
Look at all those cats sitting outside. Well, I'm locked up. That ain't right. I'm like, what is it? I want to know. Like, what do you think makes a person go, I got to get back to my old ways?
Got to do it. I don't know. They want to see if the cat has cellulite. This is just a natural urge. Don't judge.
One of the new victims, a woman named Andrea Wilson, she goes and after her cat returns home with a fresh buzz cut, she's all upset, she takes to Facebook, posts some pics.
Oh.
Yep, and says, here's my shaved cat, Daisy. And now most people don't want to post pictures of the shaved cat on Facebook, but she decides to do it. And some of the older residents in the area, they remembered how it was before. They're like, wait a minute.
Oh, a whole 5 years before?
Way back 5 years ago.
It's been 5 long years.
In southeastern England, there was this cat barber.
I wish that people had written songs about it. Folk songs. And then we'd know because it would get passed down through the 5-year generation. The ballad of the cat shaver.
There's another local resident, Rebecca Keogh, or I may be pronouncing it wrong, probably Keogh, Keoff, Cough, I don't know. It's K-E-O-G-H.
Becca.
She says her cat's name is Shelby and Smudge. And so she says, quote, Shelby came back completely shaved at one point, apart from his head and feet. Smudge must have struggled because one time she was shaved, she actually had cuts on her where she had been caught. This is the first mention of cuts on anybody. So, you know, apparently either this may not be the same person or they're just not as good at it. They've fallen out of practice. But
yeah, who knows?
Finally, now we have actual damage. So fellow cat lovers, they take to the Facebook page, We Love Radford, and they warn the newcomers and the young cat owners who don't know about the Plymouth Cat Shaver and Jack the Clipper and the Cat Barber of Devon. And they say, look, you need to be very careful with your cats in these parts.
Yeah.
Because the mystery remains unsolved.
They never found out who did it.
Still out there, possibly buzzing away, doing whatever they want in the dark of night. Now, even with all these Ring cameras and all this stuff, still no witnesses, no leads, nothing.
What if the cats are shaving each other?
This is a question worth pondering.
Yeah.
Like, you know, maybe there is somebody who's not a person doing it, maybe not a cat.
A bunch of dogs.
There you go. Some dogs are out there.
A dog gang.
Get over
That's
here,
That's how you
cat.
Get jumped into get the dog gang. In.
Yeah.
You got to shave a couple cats and bring the little fuzzy pelts back.
Interestingly, no dogs have been reported being shaved.
The dogs wouldn't.
No, not in England. No, they love those dogs.
They do.
But what's interesting is I looked up, there was a bunch of crimes where dogs had had horrible times where they went to the dog groomer, where they paid the dog groomer.
Oh, yeah.
And they came back when they had like these, oh, he looked like boiled meat. And I'm like, did you want to eat him? Like, you know, like I know how British cooking is. Like, how you bet you were confused.
It's a dicey proposition to get a...
Oh, is it? Yeah. I had no idea. I don't have a dog to groom. So I wouldn't go to a dog groomer anyway if I did, but...
We had a dog... growing up, who's a Springer Spaniel that we took to a groomer once to get like a field cut or whatever for the summer. And he came back just totally like cut up, like scabs and stuff. And I don't know, it was weird. And then I see pictures all the time of people with little fluffy dogs who take them in. They come out looking.
They come in ridiculous.
Like just
come out
a shaved rat.
Yeah, that seems
like... Well, Elliot got a ridiculous haircut once and I wasn't the one who gave it to him.
How could people not be good at it if that's all you do?
I don't know, but I knew someone who wanted to work at a groomer's and was like an apprentice and volunteered.
Did they have to practice on your dog?
They've practiced on Elliot.
Mm-hmm.
And I show up and Elliot had a faux hawk. And I was like, if I saw a kid with a faux hawk, I'd shave that off. That's child abuse. Same with a rat tail.
Wait a minute.
But
wait
then,
a minute.
Yeah. But then it's like, to my dog?
See?
What?
See that blood boil
so
you
I was
feel?
Like, fix that. So we fixed it. And Elliot was cut so close and so short that he was like freaking out. And I had to put that thunder shirt thing for
you
like.
Had to get him clothing.
That's supposed to help them when they're afraid of fireworks. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't help Elliot because he's the most.
Sensitive soul.
Yeah. Neurotic dog on the face of the earth. Yeah. Bundled him up.
Just
still
a bag of anxiety
happy.
Wrapped in fur.
You know, it's like when you go to get your hair cut and you look in the mirror and...
I'm sorry, do what now?
Yeah, I know.
One haircut this century.
That's yeah, right. That's you. You go and they say, how do you like it? You're just like, oh God, I don't want you doing anything more to this. And it looks great, thanks. And you go home and you just stare at it and you're like...
And you people pay for this?
Yeah.
No, I don't understand.
Or, you know, for a long time in like the early... 2000s, late 90s, I had like baby doll bangs.
Mm-hmm.
As you
you're
know.
Doing that yourself, right?
Oh, completely.
Yeah, that sounds like something you do yourself.
You could tell my mental and emotional state by how short the bangs were.
Just a tracker you had on your forehead.
Yeah,
if they started getting
shorter and shorter, it went like, oh, she's staying up
she's
late.
She's going through it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you had to guess, who do you think is shaving all those cats in the UK? One person, multiple people? Is it a trend?
I think
it's
one guy.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why I feel like it's a man and not a woman.
Uh-huh.
But it's a guy. I'm going to profile this cat shaver right now.
I like it. Go for it.
It's a man.
Give me that FBI energy.
35 to 50. Uh-huh. Has a grudge against the cats. Because the cats go to his house and they mock him.
Haunt him.
And they take dumps in his
caterwaul around
his
him.
Flower beds. And they go in and they like open up bags of chips in his kitchen and hide in them mm-hmm. and then jump out. They scratch him up all the time. He's had
like,
it.
I'm shaving those mothers. Yeah. You know who I think it is?
Who?
Banksy. No, wait, I got an argument. Think about it. You ready?
I am there for
he's
that.
He's British.
Yes.
So he's there. He likely knows how to operate an electric hair clipper since he was raised on trip hop.
Right.
And people don't know who he is.
Like the hair clippers trip hop connection. What the hell are you talking about?
Have you seen all those haircuts? It's all the electric clipper haircuts. That's like, oh, like I cut my own hair in a gas station bathroom with these electric clippers. I got to get to the rave.
Oh my God.
So what's he doing? Right? No, he just shows up places and he leaves behind murals. Well, maybe he shaves a few cats before and then he pops on down the road.
What if you put the cats under a black light and there's like a stencil on the bald spot?
Yes, and it's a Banksy
it's
stencil.
A Banksy
and he's
stencil.
Like, he looks from
he's
on
all,
to me.
Sell that one.
Yeah.
And then people, yeah.
So what's a ridiculous takeaway after this?
Oh, my goodness. Well, that, quite frankly, I could talk about cats for hours. That's my takeaway. My takeaway is that I still really want to see a completely shaven, heavy cat.
I like that about you.
Thanks.
Yeah, my ridiculous takeaway is I found out there's no way to talk about manhandling a cat without sounding like a dirtbag.
Yeah. Yeah, that's you did. You proved that.
Yeah. Well, thanks for joining us. I'm Elizabeth Dutton.
And me, I'm Zarin Burnett.
You can find us online at Ridiculous Crime on both Twitter and Instagram. If you got a tip for us about a ridiculous crime you'd like to hear about, let us know about it. You want to confess a ridiculous crime? Even better. Double down, hit us up on the email, ridiculouscrime@gmail.com. We'll be back next time with more criminal absurdities that are always murder-free. Ridiculous Crime is hosted by Elizabeth Dutton and Zarin Burnett. Produced and edited by Dave the Cat Barber Kustin. Research is by Marissa, take a little off the top, Brown. The theme song is by Thomas the Norwegian Forest Cat Lee and Travis the American Wirehair Dutton. Executive producers are Ben Shaky Hands Bolin and Noel, don't worry, that'll grow out, Brown.
Ridiculous Crime is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Are coming back to Atlanta
right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie.
Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.